Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right, so last week we got into, I guess the spirit of preaching showed up a little bit. And we got into a little bit there and talking about power and authority and some of those things within the home. But I want you to back up just a little bit. We're going to go back to Romans 12:20 for a moment. Okay, because I wanted to kind of bring this out to you because we're talking about authority. And notice in the passage in Romans 12:20, he said, I took you back to 2 Kings earlier last week to show you this, how Elisha dealt with the enemies of God. But he says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, notice that last part of the passage. So I want to take you back here just a little bit and give you more of the, show you how to get the three applications of Scripture once again, which are what? Historical, doctrinal, and practical or slash spiritual application. So when you see a verse like that, don't just run over it and just think, okay, well, you get a spiritual application out of that thing, yes. But let's look at some things. Let's look at the doctrinal and prophetic application of that thing. Go back to Proverbs 25, if you will. Proverbs chapter 25. We'll try to tie these things in. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. This is what Paul is quoting. He said, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Okay, so that's suffering patiently. You can look at that as a Christian. You're suffering patiently as a Christian. And so what that thing is doing is this is adding more and more to their account as far as the bad is concerned for anybody who comes against you and persecutes you. But I want you to notice a doctrinal application. Look it over here in Psalm 140. Look at Psalm 140. Psalm 140, this is for your own edification. Anytime you see Selah in the Psalms, you're going to see a Second Advent reference every time you see that thing, okay? Now, you look at Psalm 140, verse 5. The proud have hit a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah. I said unto the Lord, thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. That day of battle is specifically talking about back there in Joshua chapter 10, when the Lord rained hailstones down on the enemies, okay? And he made the sun stand still and all that in Joshua chapter 10. We don't have time to go there. But look at verse 8. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Now, you've got a wicked one that's going to show up in the tribulation, correct? That wicked be revealed? Okay, that's the Antichrist. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves, Selah. He's going to exalt himself against the God of gods, correct? 2 Thessalonians. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let the burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, that they rise not up again. Now look at verse 9. You see that right there? As for the head of those that compass me about. Now, let's look at the doctrinal. Let's look at the prophetic. Look at Luke. Look at Luke chapter 21. This is how you study your Bible. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Get the three applications of Scripture. Now, this is what the Lord's talking about here. Now, this is going to be your sister passage over here from Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Okay, so when you read those passages and the Lord's talking about the end of the day, the end of days, okay, when he's talking about prophetically, you have to match all these references together. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, Luke 21. Now look at it says here, doctrinally, what he's talking about. He says, verse 20, Luke 21, 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that desolation thereof is nigh. That's the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Okay, so he's telling those Jews, when you see these things come about, this is what is going to take place. Okay, this is the sign of the end of this world, okay? Now, you see that back in Psalm 140? Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, that they rise not up again. Now, let's look at this thing here. Went through this here. Anybody remember somebody who was cast into the pit in the Old Testament? Well, Jeremiah was, but who else was cast into the pit? Well, Joseph was. We're going to get into Joseph here in a minute, but who else? Anybody else remember? Anybody rebelled? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, right? Go back to Numbers 16. Numbers chapter 16. Now look at verse 30. Well, look at Numbers 16:30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. This had never happened before. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. And they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now, let's look at the essential reason why they went down to the pit. What was their problem? Rebellion, right? What did they have a problem with? Authority. Right? What's Romans 13 all about? Authority. Power. Now, you have to get out of your carnal mind and quit thinking about everything. And Romans 13, people have a problem with Romans 13 because the only thing they ever look at is carnal things, temporal things. They look at the government. Okay, no matter what happens on Tuesday, who sets up kingdoms and who pulls them down, who sets them up? The Lord. Who gives power? The Lord does. So in your carnal mind, you might look at things and think, you know, everything's all over, doesn't matter which way you sway politically, but you have to understand who God gives power to. He's the one who has the power to give it to whomsoever he will. Right? And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram's problem was that they rebelled against the man of God, the one that God appointed, which was Moses, to rule and to reign over the children of Israel in spiritual matters, correct? And they came up against him because they were worshiping something. What were they worshiping? The golden calf. Well, they were worshiping themselves. Your biggest idol is your ego. That's your biggest problem is you. And that was their biggest problem. They thought, well, I'm just as good as he is. Listen, whoever God calls, whoever God anoints to be put in charge of something, that's his man. Whether they're good or they're evil in your eyes. You have to remember that. We're not talking about just temporal things here. Power, there's a much greater power than just physical things. Amen? Now let's look at this thing, power. We'll go back to Romans 13:1. We're going to deal with the issue of power. Right? So let's go to John 19. This is something that's hard for folks to understand because they can't get out of their carnal ways and their carnal mind looking at things just temporal. But you've got to look at the eternal things. Look at John 19. Well, look at 19:10. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he hath delivered me unto thee that hath the greater sin. So who had the greater sin? Why did they have a greater sin? Because they had more light. So the greater sin fell upon those Pharisees, Sadducees, all of them that knew the Bible, and they still delivered him over to the Romans. You're talking about a pagan emperor, a ruler here. He's not an emperor. Pagan ruler here. Now, his wife tried to come and warn him, but he wouldn't listen to his wife, right? She tried to warn him, but he didn't have a clue about the scripture. He just thought, here's another crazy lunatic out here. What's this? Another Jew I got to deal with, right? But he saw something different in him, and then he shows him, where does power come from? It comes from above. All right, now go back to Job. Let's go to Job. Go to Job. Now I'm going to give you some strong meat this morning. Sometimes it's like Brother Barry talked about. Sometimes it's milk. Sometimes it's meat. Sometimes it's strong meat. Now, not everyone can handle some strong meat, but you got to look at these things in a panoramic view and how, as far as spiritually concerned, look at this thing in the big picture. Look at Job 1:12. Job 1:12, and the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. All right, so God gives him power to persecute Job. That's what Job means, one persecuted. Okay, this is a side note. Notice how many chapters are in the book of Job. 42. Okay, how many months are in the last days of the tribulation? 42 months, 3.5 years. Just note that. So what you're looking at here is a great type of that. Okay, so Job is a great type of that Jew who's going to be persecuted by the devil. All right, Satan incarnate. Now look, verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So let's look at the power. Satan has power in the physical realm over men and over the atmosphere. See the Sabaeans? Those are men. Satan didn't come down, and he didn't mess with Job himself. He used men to do it, didn't he? And then he has power over the atmosphere. Now, what do you think happens in the tribulation? He has power over men. He has power over the atmosphere. Now, you ask yourself, well, why is that? Okay, go to Ephesians. Look at this over in Ephesians. We'll get back to Job. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead, right? That's why you must be born again. Wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to what? The prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see that? Prince of power of the air, there's the atmosphere. And he's over the children of disobedience. There's the men. Now, why did those men, how were they controlled by Satan? Well, we showed you this before when we began the study in Romans, right? Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, let's stop there. The time period in which he's talking about is when? It's all the way back here in Genesis 10 and Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Let's hold your place in Romans. Go back to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. In the plains of Shinar, they have a king over them, who is Nimrod. And Nimrod is the 13th from Adam. His name means subduer of the leopard. He's the first one that organizes armies on the earth. And that's the first time you'll see wars show up on the earth is under Nimrod. He's one of the greatest types of the Antichrist, right? Now he's a king over Babylon. Now look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Is it that way now? Nope. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. You see, there's a secular side and there's a religious side. You see the city? That's the capital. That's the secular side. You see the tower? That's the religious side. Why do you think churches have steeples on them? It's representing something. Now, I'm not going to get into all the history of the paganism and all that stuff. I'm not saying we can't have a steeple. But you have to understand that thing. What they're doing is setting up a church-state religion. Right there, okay? Now, look. And it said, go, let us make a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, what did the Lord commission Noah to do? Replenish the earth, right? They were to spread out. They were to be fruitful and multiply. They were to spread out. But what did man want to do? He wanted to congregate in the cities. once again. They are of one speech, and they were of one language, and they're one world religion. See, man's, see, this thing doesn't, this is how the history repeats itself. What are they trying to do right now? They're trying to consolidate power, and how you do that is you get power over the city and the people within that thing, and you create a one world religion, one state government, one government and religious, they marry each other. Anybody know any system like that? That's what the world's trying to go to. What are they doing? They're trying to go right back to Genesis chapter 11. They're trying to consolidate power, right? So they said, let us make us a name. All right, so there's going to be one that comes in his own name and the world's going to receive him. Who's that? It's the Antichrist. And so the Lord gives him power because what? To deceive, right? Because the wickedness of man, they said that we don't want God. All right, so we'll go back to Romans chapter 1. So this is the time what he's talking about here. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and beasts and creeping things. So it degenerated, correct? They believe in evolution. Well, this is degeneration. This is the opposite. You go from the highest God. He said, let us make man in our image, right? They went from man, and they're down here worshiping four-footed beasts and creeping things on the ground. They're worshiping idols, right? Wherefore God, notice this, also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. All right, so there's the body. All the sexual perversion that takes place, the body's the first thing to go. Right? Because that's the entrance into the soul. When you start getting into sexual perverseness, the rest is going to follow with it. It's going to follow suit. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. There's the soul, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. All this sodomy and stuff that's taking place, where's it coming from? Their souls are defiled. They're perverse. Right? And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in the lust one toward another, with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. All the venereal diseases, all that stuff, where does it come from? Sexual perversion. And who did it? Who put it on them? God did. He gave them up to vile affections. Where do you think AIDS came from? Didn't come from monkeys. Amen. All right. And even as they did not like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So there he gave them up. He gave them up, and then he gave them over. When? See, back there in the Tower of Babel, they didn't want to keep God in their knowledge. They started worshiping, serving those things, the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. And guess what? They became the children of wrath. Amen. Children of disobedience, as he tells you in Ephesians chapter 2. All right, now look at this thing. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, all these things, right? It gives you this list. It almost matches the one over in Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all that stuff, right? That's what your flesh is capable of doing, saved or lost. But notice he says being filled with all unrighteousness. Now he said, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but what? But be filled with the Spirit. So you can either be filled with the Spirit or you can be filled with unrighteousness. It's your choice, depending on who you yield to. Now, God gave Satan power over this lost world. He's called the god of this world, right? 2 Corinthians 4:4. So he's moving them around. He's the puppet master. But does he have power over you? Not unless you give him power. Not unless you yield to the flesh. See, when you yield to the flesh, you give that power back to Satan. But you have a power that he doesn't have power over. What is that? You have a spiritual power. Why? Because you have victory over sin. Where does the spiritual power come from? Let's go back to Matthew. It's all about power and authority. The Sadducees came to asking him about the resurrection. Anybody remember that? Where this man had this woman and so on and so forth, her husband died and gave her to her brother or his brother, so on and so forth, right? Because they don't believe in the resurrection. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse 28. Here's how the Sadducees pose the question. 22:28, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. See, they don't believe, they're saying this in jest because they don't believe in the resurrection. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given a marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. All right? So what is the power of God? It's the power of the resurrection. Where can you see the power of the resurrection? Any born-again believer. Look at Galatians 2. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you've got more power residing in you. It's called the power of the resurrection. Right? But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. You have more power residing within you than anybody who has a nuclear codes. Sure, they can destroy the body, but they can't destroy the soul because the spirit's born again and you're going up someday. So that's hard for the lost world to wrap their minds around, because the only thing they look at is what? Physical power. What did Nimrod have? He had physical power, but they were all dead spiritually. When you became born again, you got the power of the resurrection residing within you. You think, but I'm not, yes, yeah, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Remember Paul said that? So you've got a better day coming. Regardless of whatever happens in this world, what's the worst thing they can do to a Christian? Kill you? I'll tell you the worst thing that happened to a Christian. That's spiritual withdrawal. Worst thing that happened to a Christian is spiritual withdrawal. Mm-hmm. When you can no longer see things in this book like you used to see them, that's the worst thing that happened to you on this earth. Amen. Now you're looking at the power of the resurrection. I was talking to Brother Barry the other day, and we were just kind of talking about different things about, you know, hey, listen, I don't know how in the world, it blows my mind how the Lord takes a couple junkyard dogs and turns them into preachers and does a work in them that everybody that knew them before they were saved says there's no way that guy'd be a preacher. There's no way that guy'd be teaching that Bible. You look at our pastor. He's told you his testimony 1,000 times. He said, well, if you ever knew me before, what is that? That's the power of the resurrection. That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because true power is power over spiritual matters, not physical. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. So when you get into this issue of power, just remember these things. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's called the prince of the power of the air. And he's got some little lieutenants up there, and each one of those lieutenants has a sector over this world. You got the prince of Grecia, you got the prince of Persia. No doubt every nation has its own representative up there in the heavens. Now that sounds pretty far out there, doesn't it? But it's all Bible. Because you got to look at things, not the temporal, but you have to look at eternal things. And how the Bible shows these things to you, you can only see it if you're born again. Amen? So you got this thing, this power thing, right? So he gave those children of disobedience up to vile affections, all right? He gave them over to a reprobate mind, and he's using men to come and persecute Job. Now, who persecutes that Jew right now? Men. You see how the kingdoms of this world coming against them? All right, there's a reason. There's that reason, though. Let's go back to Psalm 106. You say, why does God set up evil, wicked rulers or allow those things to happen? Well, let's go back to Psalm 106. Look at 106 verse 33. He's talking about the Jew here. Because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning who the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. This is the Jew that came into the land of Canaan. They were supposed to destroy all their idols, and they did not do it, right? And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. See that right there? They threw their kids in the fire. What's this nation been doing? Amen. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. This land that you're living in is polluted with blood, is it not? Why do people why is abortion such a big thing? I'm not up here to, I don't care as far as politically, but why is it such a big thing? Why do people abort their babies? For materialism, because they want to have a better life. Well, this kid's going to drag me down. Now you get into a philosophical argument, and that's the problem. Let no man deceive you by philosophy, right? Vain deceit, right? So you get into a philosophical argument about, well, when does life begin? All that bunch of garbage, right? So that's how they can justify their devilment. That's what they were doing back here, all right? The land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Inventors of evil things, he gave you that in the list in Romans 1. You're seeing the same thing. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. You think some folks are big fans of Christians in the government right now? No, but you're still supposed to submit yourself, aren't you? Look at Jeremiah 27. This is the reason he gives them over. That's in the book of Judges. But the reason he gives them wicked rulers is because they left him. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the what? Nations that forget God. So you wonder why you get the rulers you get? It's what you deserve as a nation. All right, Jeremiah chapter 27. Look at verse 5. I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are upon the ground by my great power. And by my outstretched arm have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given also to serve him. And notice this in verse 7. And all nations shall serve him. What's going to happen in the tribulation? All nations are going to serve the Antichrist. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. But they believed a lie, they might be damned, or that they should all be damned. That's what this world's getting set up for. They're getting set up for that great deception. They're going to believe a lie instead of the truth. All right, now look down here. Notice one thing. He says, over the beast of the field, I'll get back to that. Look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and the famine and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Now, what do you see show up in the tribulation? What things show up? Look at Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24. Now, doctrinally, where's Matthew 24 set? Right smack dab in Daniel's 70th week. He says, 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be what? Famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. When's that taking place? Tribulation. Why? Nebuchadnezzar's in charge. He's judging the world. Now go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Notice what shows up. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. Talking about the four horsemen, or there could be five. Get into that later. All right. And there went out another horse, verse 4, that was red, and power was given. Notice the power. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And it was given unto him, notice this, a great sword. sword, famine, pestilence. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. That's a day's wage, that penny is. Okay? And see that thou hurt not the oil and wine. What do you have? You got pestilence, you got famine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And looked, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power, notice the power, was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with the hunger, and with death, and with, notice this, and with the beasts of the field. What was Nebuchadnezzar given power over as well? Those beasts of the field. See, when the church is out of here, and that judgment comes down upon this earth of that wrath of God. Look at verse 16. 6:16, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Who's that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's Daniel's 70th week. That's coming up. And that power is going to be given over to Satan. You know what he's going to be able to do? Look at Revelation 13. Look at Revelation 13, 12. And he exercised all power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. See that? See the power? That physical, that atmosphere, that's what he has power over, and he has power over men. Why? Because they gave themselves over to the power of the devil. You know what Satan wants the church to do? He wants the church of the living God just to be conformed to this world. He wants to take your power from you. Spiritual power over sin. If he can just get you just to kind of, you know, go along to get along and just be conformed to this world and just, well, you know, everybody else is doing it, then you're going to worship yourself and not God. That's what you're seeing in the last days. Is it not? You're seeing the church fall away. There shall be a great falling away first. All right? Apostasia is the Greek for that falling away. Apostasy, right? You know another English translation for apostasy is? Divorcement. The church divorces itself from God, having a form of godliness, but denying the what? Power thereof. Well, what's the power? Resurrection. See, what you're seeing more and more today is more and more heresies coming from the church. Who is the first one to change the word of God? Well, who's the first human? Mm-hmm. What's Eve a type of? Type of what? Church. If Adam's a type of Christ, Eve's a type of the church, who changes the word of God? Who takes away and who adds to it? The church does. I get more problems from the brethren than I ever did from lost people. You know what I get problems over? The authority of this book. The King James Bible. The authorized version. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, people think you got to learn some Greek and some Hebrew to understand the Bible. That I took you through, yeah, I gave you a root word in Greek, that's fine. But you don't need Greek to understand the Bible. You just compare Scripture with Scripture. If you want to know the future, read the past. Read the Old Testament. See, that thing goes in cycles? Go to Ecclesiastes. It's all in there. It's called the whole counsel of God. But if you don't read your Bible, this stuff will just be, you won't know it. Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. See how history repeats itself? I mean, you have to think about it in terms of when the Lord comes back, he's going to reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem with a rod of iron. What do you have at the end of that thing? You have rebellion. Where's Satan at the whole time that Christ is, yeah, he's locked up where? He's in the bottomless pit. Well, you're not gonna, those people are not going to be able to blame Satan for the temptation. What are they going to have to blame? Their flesh. I hate to tell it to you folks, but your flesh is no good. And just because you're saved doesn't mean your flesh was saved. It's going into a hole in the ground and it's going to rot because it's corruptible. But you're going to put on incorruption someday and you're going to have a new body. And that's what the world's waiting for. That's right. The sons of God are going to appear. The manifestation of the sons of God, Romans chapter 8. You're someday going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. You're going to be just like him. You're going to be not only saved from the power of sin, but you're going to be saved from the presence of sin. That's why you're waiting on a new body, because this body in your that you're living in, you're groaning to put on a new body, to be clothed upon with something else, right? Because this thing gives you fits, doesn't it? Because every time that you yield to that flesh, you give power back over to the enemy. But if you refuse to yield through the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, Lord, I can't do it. You're going to have to help me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But you're going to have to pray about that. It's a tough battle, isn't it? So, as we get into Romans 13, don't just think about just governmental powers. Sure, government, that's kiddie pool stuff. The things taking place down here on this earth and the elections, that's kiddie pool stuff. There is a drop in a bucket to the Lord. You got to remember that. And we all have to keep that in mind, because here Tuesday we got an election coming up, don't we? That's on everybody's minds. What's going to happen? I have no idea. But I can tell you this, whatever does happen is going to be in the will of God. And you're going to have to submit one way or the other, because you're called out of this world. And you're called to call other people out of this world, because they're walking around in blindness and spiritual blindness because they don't have a clue what's going on around them. They don't know their right hand from their left, as the Lord told Jonah about the Ninevites. Remember that. Keep that in mind, because it's real easy to get caught up in that stuff. Oh, yeah, it's real easy. But you got to look at the eternal instead of the temporal. Amen. So I promise you, next week, I won't be here. When I get back, we'll get back into Romans 13. But I wanted to paint that picture for you as a panoramic view of understanding the real issue. It's a power and authority issue. Who's got the power? Who's got the authority? Well, one day, when the Lord comes back, sets foot on this earth, he's going to crush all these Gentile nations. They're going to come against that Jew. He's going to step on them like a wine press. He's a man of war. All right. We'll finish up there. Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you for this study, Lord. We thank you for your truth you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for those that came before us that pay for this book with their own blood to preserve it, so that we might have it in our hands, Lord. And just thank you for all those saints that came before us. And I pray, Lord, that you give us power and victory. And those in the house today, maybe they've been away from you for a while, Lord, and I just pray that you give them victory and power today back, Lord. I just pray that they'd come to you, confess their sin, get right with you before you come back and you take us home. Father, I just pray for the service. Pray for Brother Barry and the choir today, Lord. Just help them have power and victory. And Father, I just pray for our pastor as he stands to preach one more time. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.